The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you don't have one of the top offenses in the league, are you okay with a bend but don't break defense? Because it feels like that's part of the reason why you're so anti-bend but don't break.
Topic number one. What is your position on the role of government in supporting innovation in the field of biotechnology?
Well, Dean, I'm glad that you asked that
question. I'd like to jump in and take that one, Jimmy, if you don't mind.
Have at it, Hoss.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What are opposing defensive coordinators say when they're playing the Green Bay Packers? We have to keep
them
Aaron
off
the
field.
So why is our defense keep Aaron Rodgers off the field?
And as a corollary, the market for technologies is shrinking. As a world leader, it's important for America to provide systematic research grants for our scientists. I believe strongly that there will always be a need for us to have a well-articulated innovation policy with emphasis on human resource development. Thank you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We've been doing the show for about a year. I think this is one of his best points ever.
What happened? I blacked out.
Well, that was interesting.
I can't get that out of my head.
No, muy bueno.
You know what I mean? That was the best drop ever.
Thank you very much. And your rebuttal, Mr. Carville.
I can't get that out of my head.
I'm 100% there with you.
We have no response. That was perfect.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
There will be NFL football every week from now on until February, Chew.
Feels good. Bring on the cold.
It's your favorite time of year.
I'm not there yet.
No? What?
Sunday starts to feel surreal.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So Sunday it is.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to work towards it. It is already Tuesday, so you already got the one day out of the way. You hate Mondays. It's not really a Monday.
The weekend sucked. Horrible.
Terrible. Why?
Moving.
Oh, yeah. Moving is terrible.
It's terrible, but if you face it head on and nail the thing and don't sit there and go, oh, look at this from Nolan, isn't that nice? Oh, look at this from Gianna. Do you want to be here for a month, or do we want to get this done?
These anecdotes are sounding wildly specific.
Yes.
This doesn't sound like you're just, you know, making some stuff up now. So no. You guys moved this weekend while you were packing up a house, and you're telling me it didn't go well, huh?
It went well when I left. Because I got all my stuff around, and then my wife calls it the lurk. I lurk. I'm like, let's go. First off, she said it was going to take about 3 hours, and I laughed.
Because you assumed it would take
much
more.
So then I leave, because one of the greatest things about moving is just throwing things away. And my rule of thumb is if you have to look at it for more than 2 seconds, throw it away.
Oh, Marie Kondo.
Get rid of it.
If it doesn't spark joy.
Yes.
If it doesn't spark joy, throw it away. So we've got the purge and we've got the lurch.
Yes.
This is basically how we summarize your weekend.
So I left. And my wife was there for probably another 4 hours and my plan worked. She's like, I threw everything away. I'm like, thank you. We're not going to need this curtain
Chewy
rod.
Chewy was right.
This
Holy.
Curtain rod.
Chewy was right.
To build a carburetor for the 1972 Impala 17 years from now. Throw the damn thing away.
Why is it, and I don't want to separate this specifically on gender lines, but my dad has the exact same issue with my mom, that she saves everything. Why is it that so many women do that, where they just don't want to get rid of
You know why? You want to know why? Lack of foresight.
What?
Jen, would you like to defend yourself at all?
Well, I wanted to hear what the argument was first.
Terrible idea. Lack of foresight. You realize when you take this curtain rod over to the other house, and then we move out of that house in 5 years, you're going to be looking to bring that curtain rod to the next one. instead of throw the damn thing away.
Okay, so I don't think it's that. I think it's that you never want to get rid of something you might actually need, right? Like, I don't want to know that I have a sewing kit tucked away somewhere the one time I actually need to put a button back on, and then remember that my husband pressured me into throwing it away the last time we did a purge and lurch or whatever, lurch and purge, yeah. And then go, see, we had a sewing kit, you made me throw it away, now I gotta go to Target and buy another one.
What about an iron that won't even plug into today's world, today's outlet?
Whoa, that is
it, like it's from Europe. Throw it away.
You don't have a European iron. You're lying.
But things along those lines.
What are some other things along the lines of a European iron?
I don't want to get in trouble because I'm already in a lot of trouble.
But, well, listen, I do think, and maybe I could be wrong on this, so tell me if I am, but I do think this splits on gender lines. I think more women are guilty of, maybe sentimental, yeah, they're guilty of hanging on to things they don't necessarily need. I mean, I remember when I started to throw away Chase's artwork and he caught wind of it, he was devastated.
As he should be.
Devastated that I was starting to chuck some of the stuff he was bringing home from school. Now, somebody is monetizing maternal guilt because there are companies now that you can send the kid's artwork off to and they will put it in a book for you. They will like scan it, take a picture of it, and put it into a bound book so you can actually get rid of the artwork and just hold on to the book. Good on them.
I am the least sentimental person out there. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a disgusting story. My daughter's baby teeth were in a little chest toy, right? Which I found disgusting, right? Teeth that had been in there for 10 years. And my wife's like, this is the cutest. I'm like, there's nothing cute about that. It's gross.
Throw it away.
Now, Ashton benefited. Are you going to open your poster that you got?
Oh, I'm disgusted right now. I can't.
Why?
He kept the teeth?
We all keep the teeth.
No, we don't all keep the teeth.
Oh, please. Call your mom right now and ask if she's ever kept your baby teeth. I will bet my salary that she has
kept some
baby teeth at some point. Absolutely. 1,000,000%. Sentimentality.
Teeth?
Listen, I admit, the only people that save teeth are moms and serial killers, okay? Those are the only people on the planet that actually save teeth. But we do it. Put it on the poll. Put it on the poll.
You want to go, it'll be 50-50. 50% of the, 50% women, 50% men.
Are you texting your mom right now?
I did, yeah. I don't know if she's upset. I want to call her.
Text your dad, too, because that's the only fair way to do it.
Well, here's the thing. How do I word this on the poll?
We'll figure it out. Do you want to do it by gender? Do you want to see, are you a mom and you save teeth? Are you a dad and you save teeth? Are you mom and you don't?
I think the gender will be all done by itself. It'll be 50-50. And you'll know that it's the women and the men.
I'm telling you, moms save baby teeth. Again, it's a watershed moment. I have a snip of hair the first time Chase got a haircut.
So does my wife.
That seems weird. I'm not going to lie. Once again...
Serial killers and mothers.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I'm going to tell on myself right now. I'm a super soft and sentimental person. That's weird to me, though. That's the hair and teeth. That's body parts.
You wait.
That's like keeping a finger and it's the same thing, basically.
It's keeping a finger.
It's the same thing as keeping a body part.
It isn't.
It absolutely is.
I'm not keeping fingernails.
But why?
Oh, yeah. You draw the line at teeth and hair.
Jen, why the painting from first grade? The only time you're ever going to see it is if you move.
That's a very, very good point, which again is why you should be able to get rid of it until your child walks into your office as you're putting a keep toss pile, right? Keep pile, toss pile. Chase catches wind of what's happening and he was very upset. He was very, like, don't you love me anymore? You're not saving my artwork
anymore. There's a 7-year window that I will give them because I've had four move out of the house now, right? And they get their bin because they leave crap behind everywhere, right? So you put it in a bin, you put it in the unfinished part of the basement there. You have 7 years to claim your crap or it's gone.
I'm laughing because this is exactly how my dad feels. You and my father have never been more aligned in anything in this world. He feels the same way. He puts your crap in a bin, he'll store it for 7 years, and then he will throw it in the back of his car and drive it up to your house and leave it on the driveway.
Yeah.
Just leave it there. And you roll up and you're going, oh, dad was here. Yeah. Dropped off another bin.
Yeah. It is a grind.
Oh, gosh. We were going to get to our ones and twos, but this is so much more fun. Let's very quickly run through some ones and twos. All right, Ashy?
After every game, there's always a winner. Champions, my friend. And a loser.
We hate losers, don't we? They don't even deserve to live.
It's time for the number ones.
Always remember, you ain't first, you're last.
And the number twos.
Did you just soil yourself?
Maybe.
All right, I'll start it with the twos. I could start a lot of places with twos, but I'm going to start here in general targeting. Enough.
Oh, even Stink would say that stinks.
Ashton, you said it last night. There were four targetings in the game.
I believe there were four
against
ejections.
Louisville and there was, Ole Miss.
I'm pretty sure there was four ejections and six actual reviews.
And there was an instance in the Badger game, which I'm sure we're going to get to. That's not targeting. He becomes a runner once he crosses the line of scrimmage. He should be treated like a running back, right? We'd only have targeting there if he's a quarterback, and I thought it was a horrible call, and they waited around, and
We've got Mike Golic Jr. joining the show once again every week during football season. I think he's going to have a good take on this as well, because I agree with you. There is nothing more predictable than targeting becoming a thing again week one of the college football season. Because people either forget what targeting is, they forget that the punishment is so severe that you're going to miss the remainder of the game, and if it's in the second half, you're going to miss part of the first half of your next game as well.
Now,
like, it's a tough...
What's the rule, though? Because last year the rule was, okay, if they throw a flag for targeting and it turns out to be not targeting at all, the player doesn't get ejected, but the penalty still stays in place, which is dumb. Just what are we doing?
I just think, to be honest with you, this is when you've got a bang-bang play. It's so hard for the defensive player. Again, they always say leading with the helmet, right? But I feel like at times you're trying to make contact with a moving target.
Yeah,
and if the target is moving,
difficult.
I don't really understand why the onus has to be on you to be able to predict what that moving target is going to do and adjust your body accordingly in those snap seconds. Like, I've always felt it's a very... not arbitrary, that's not the right word. It's just too complicated.
But in football, it's very, I believe, easy to get into a player's head and decipher whether it's intent, the intent of the player. It's not very hard, you know? If it's dirty, then yeah, toss them. But if it's just playing football and it's, like you said, a moving target and things happen... That's part of the game.
We will continue this conversation as the show goes on. Let me get to some quick ones and twos. How about number one, Brewers walk-off grand slam this weekend? Ooh, boy, is this team hot. This team, it feels like they can do no wrong. Now, I know yesterday was a little dicey, not great, but also not bad. Like, again, I'm really kind of starting to feel like we should be leaning more into this Brewers team. Should be getting our hats, getting our jerseys, getting our stuff as they continue to lead the division and have like a 99% chance of making the playoffs. A quick number two for you, Brian Kelly. Not sure if you guys caught the fact that he wants to...
Even Stink would say that stinks.
Execute his entire football team. And I didn't take offense to this. I wasn't one of these people who like lost their minds about it too, but I definitely was like, oh no, that happened.
You were surprised how the poll turned out though, right? You put it on...
I did, yeah. So,
and
we'll talk about that as the show goes on. I asked if Brian Kelly should have to apologize for his post-game comments. 72% of people said no. 72%. You got any more ones and twos?
I got a one. It could be a two for some. I don't know what it is for me, but just give Alabama the national championship. There's no one close to them. We were talking about it in the production meeting. Maybe Ohio State's two, and to me, Ohio State just doesn't have the weapons that it normally does. There's a gap. Would you agree? There's Alabama gap.
It's really tough to say because it's just week one. Like, I'd like to know what UCLA is, but I don't really know what LSU is. And if I'm trying to judge, you know what I mean? And that's what ends up happening. Like, is Miami just really bad? Because, again, we had all this hype about De'Aaron King coming into the season, how he was going to be lead this just powerful offense. And you're right. It just looked like the haves versus the have-nots when you're talking about Alabama and Miami. That's crazy. One more number one. Mackenzie Milton came in this weekend for FSU. Mackenzie Milton, who blew out his knee in dramatic fashion, Alex Smith-style fashion a few years ago. People didn't think he'd ever walk again, let alone play football. At a high level, he came in and was fantastic. Now, obviously, Notre Dame ended up winning that game, but still a very cool story from this weekend. Hey, TJ Watt as a number two. Just sitting out, waiting, waiting.
I kind of don't blame him.
Well, it's bad for the Steelers,
paid.
Right?
Yeah, bad for the Steelers, but they should have paid him. They know they're going to keep him for a while. Yeah, they should just pay them. I don't know what they're doing.
Get us your ones and twos this morning. It is a Tuesday, but we're treating it like a Monday because it was a long weekend. Lots of stuff going on. We've got Gojo coming up in the second hour and Jason Wilde up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
I don't want to cast any aspersions. This just feels like there's something fishy.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
That would tell me that they think they can be successful no matter who they put out there on the offensive line.
Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
It is always great to have Jason Wilde joining the show, but especially the first week of the season when Chewy is so geeked up. He is so jazzed. He is so fired up for the Packer season to finally begin. Jason, before we get to football, however, we've got quite the debate raging here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. As the father of two girls, have you guys ever saved the girls' baby teeth?
So it's an interesting scenario that we have, because both the girls want to keep their teeth. They read a book called Pearl and the Tooth Fairy when they were small. And so they write a note to the Tooth Fairy every time they lose a tooth, which I think Sydney lost one yesterday. She's losing those the canine teeth, which come a little bit later in your childhood. And they leave a note asking the Tooth Fairy to not take their teeth. And sometimes the Tooth Fairy writes a note back. And it's, oddly enough, the exact same penmanship that the Tooth Fairy has in the book Pearl and the Tooth Fairy. So it's very interesting how the tooth process goes in our house. So yes, we have.
Do we lose him? I was hanging on every word.
I know. I want to know what the going rate for teeth is now.
Well, it's like $5.
Is it
tooth
really?
Fairy, yeah, Tooth Fairy's
not
very
a
generous.
Anymore?
Tooth Fairy's very generous. All right, we'll work to get Jason Wilde back. It is interesting because, again, I think most people know that parents and the Tooth Fairy work hand in hand, right? There's a bit of an agreement there. There's a bit of a partnership there. And so I have found that when I have, you know, chatted with the good old Tooth Fairy, she is very willing to let me have the teeth. She understands that it's a sentimental thing, that I want to hold on to those.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That was nice, huh?
Kids don't figure it out, though. I mean, when do you lose your teeth as kids?
Five, six, seven, sort of,
I
up
mean,
in that
with
space.
With the internet and so, why, huh?
Do we have Jason Wilde back?
Jason's back.
Jason's back.
No, he's gone.
Jason, we'll talk a little football. What? How is this going to play out with the receiving core? Who's Zebra? Who's number two? Are they admitting anything, or is that one of those things like, well, we got Cobb, so we just have four receivers?
No, I think, Chewy, they, you know, LaFleur talked about it yesterday a little bit, and he kind of set the standard or the bar a little bit lower for Cobb, basically saying that he wants him to be in the mix all season long, so he will be part of the rotation, but that they're not going to play him, you know, 60 snaps. Which I think is smart. I mean, look, the drawback to Randall Cobb is not his connection with Rodgers or his athletic ability. Like, I don't think he's lost a step. I think the concern is durability. And so they want to try and spread out his snaps. Not that you can prevent injury per se, but the fewer snaps you play, the less chance there is to get hurt. So I think they plan on playing him. They don't plan on playing him 60 snaps in a game. They've got Amari Rodgers. I think they're excited about what Malik Taylor did in the preseason. And so I think they're going to try and, you know, use as many of those wide receivers as they can. They're going to move Devontae Adams around. He's going to be the slot. He's going to be the X. He's going to be the Z. They're going to do everything with him. And then they also like Allen Lazard as a slot guy, even though he does not fit the prototype for being a slot guy. So they've got some options there. And remember, too, Matt LaFleur loves his tight ends. And he's got Josiah DeGuara back in the mix. They like what Dominique Daphne does for them. And then obviously they've got Big Dog and Bobby Tonyan. So the good thing about this offense and what they have to work with, even though none of these guys, you know, are superstars other than Devontae, is that he can put out so many different personnel groupings that they've got a ton of options and they don't have to play top 60 snaps.
Jason, the defense is definitely a big question mark headed into this season, and we've discussed that at length here on this program and beyond, but let's specifically talk about the pass rush, because I think a lot of this hinges on Za'Darius Smith, and it seems to be one of the large question marks still headed into week one. Where are we on Za'Darius? And in a moment, Ashton, you said that Matt LaFleur actually talked about Za'Darius yesterday, was it?
Yeah, yesterday during his press conference, he was asked a couple of questions about Za'Darius Smith. And what stuck out to me and Jason, you, when I play this, you'll remember what I'm talking about is he was asked to follow up if he knew about Za'Darius Smith's injury, what it was, and here's what Matt LaFleur had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I know what it is. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know what it is.
He sounded perturbed to me when I heard that.
That was my question. So I'm glad I could perturb him. Look, there are an abundance of questions about where this injury came from and what exactly it is. I don't know. You know, they restructured his contract in the spring. They restructured it again at the start of camp, so he got a lump sum payment of much of the money that was moved around for him. So he got $10 million at the start of training camp. The remaining $4.76 million was spread out over 18 weeks along with his base salary. So I think there's a school of thought that he didn't want to risk any sort of injury during training camp when you're not getting paid, and that this injury is not that severe. One of the problems with this is that we haven't spoken to Za'Darius. He has not been available to us at any point so far in camp. So, you know, I did ask Matt LaFleur that because I wanted to see how he would respond. And I said, and I prefaced the question by saying, hey, we haven't talked to Za'Darius, so we're kind of in the dark on this. Do you know what the injury is and when it happened? And that was his response. So I do think if there were beers on the table, I do think that there would be some coaches who would say they have concerns about why he's been sidelined as long as he's been sidelined, what exactly has been amiss. But, you know, the fact that they can't pinpoint when the injury happened, I think is very telling, right? Like,
yeah,
most injuries, you know when they occurred, or the player tells you when they occurred.
Jason, does he have the type of personality, though, that if he believes he is not coming back here and this is it, he's going to do the bare minimum to make himself look good to become a free agent next year? I mean, is that because to me, clearly his back hurts because his wallet is light and it threw off the equilibrium in his back. That's how I would read into it. But with those type of players doing that, you're like, all right, is he going to get his 2 or 3 sacks in a game and be like, my hammy's a little tight, I'm done?
Yeah, the George Costanza wallet throwing off your back syndrome. Yeah, look, I don't know Za'Darius Smith. I mean, he's been in Green Bay. This is his third season. I've spoken to him in the locker room in 2019 on multiple occasions. More often than not, he did group things with Preston Smith. But I'm not going to pretend that I know him very well at all. And as a result, I don't know what kind of guy he is. My observations and my I don't want to say concerns, but I wonder if he's got a little bit of a me guy personality. You know, talking about being snubbed and everything else, but I don't know him, so I would be being completely unfair to try it. Like, it's not like somebody asking me what Al Harris is like or Mark Tauscher or Aaron Rodgers. I just don't know Zadarius well enough to know.
People will definitely be paying attention to that storyline this week. Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Packers take on the Saints this Sunday. It's only 5 days away in Jacksonville. Jason, good to chat with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, but who do the Bears play?
Does it matter?
Good question. You guys know how I feel about my friends over at the Corners of Brookfield. I love getting out there for a weekend getaway and just kind of doing a little bit of shopping, doing a little bit of visiting with some pals. So many options out there at the Corners of Brookfield, and I'm definitely going to have to make a stop out there this week as I get ready for game day this weekend. Hey, they're having a cool event. Are you a gearhead? Are you a car guy or gal? Porsche at the Corners event is from 11 to 3 on September 18th. Mark your calendars down, September 18th. You can go out to the Corners of Brookfield and check out over 40 cars from the Porsche Car Club. And if you're looking for a date night, Improv is now open at the Corners. Check out the shows. They've got all of the dates listed on their website. You could do a bachelorette or bachelor party out there. Maybe a girls night out. I know that the ladies deserve a girls night out. Big laughs are sure to be had by comics like D.L. Hughley, Bob Saget, and so much more. You can find the full schedule at this website, improv.com/Milwaukee. That's improv.com/Milwaukee. And for all of the things happening out at the Corners of Brookfield, just head to their website. It is, of course, thecornersofbrookfield.com. Thecornersofbrookfield.com. I'll see you out there.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What? Time out here.
What's up?
You can't have two teams. You get one team.
Yeah, I thought you could have one
no!
each league.
No, first of all, I can do whatever I want.
Whoa.
Second of
yeah,
all.
Yeah, Chewy.
Wow, I just got served.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Weekend for your Wisconsin Badgers, who fell to Penn State at home. Well, first let me just put out the positive, okay? If we're going to number ones and number twos this sucker, the number one is, wow, the environment, as always, in Madison looked incredible. When they were showing Jump Around on all of my social media channels yesterday, I got a little teary-eyed. I got a little choked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it was good.
Not
I like how they
so
pay
much.
Homage to it. They, like, give you, what, a minute or so of just watching the crowd and listening to the music play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then deet.
Yes.
Deet, deet, deet.
And then reality sunk
in. Well, because you said that they would have been a number two on your ones and twos
yes.
this morning, which continue getting us those 800-990-3776. But.
Graham Mertz, no NIL for you.
I think you still get NIL. I just don't think you're as
they might want
in
it back.
Demand.
They might want it back.
He'll be the first ever college athlete to have yeah. to give money back.
And you're fired. That was...
You did watch the Badgers game, and it was frustrating you for most of the afternoon. Just, is this not a good team? It just... I can't pinpoint. Now, again, I was on a plane, so I did not get to watch the game. I listened on Sirius XM, which
yeah.
is not always the same, especially because we're going to talk about that targeting call in just a few moments as well, which was a big call towards the end of the game. But your overall thoughts on where the Badgers are this year?
Not a lot of weapons. I was surprised because I think James Franklin, head coach of Penn State, is a very good recruiter. I just don't think he's a very good coach. And they had opportunities, especially late in the game, to win it, right? I mean, you score a touchdown, kick a field goal, and it's over. Mertz throws two picks. It's just my concern was more about the defense going into this than the offense, and the offense was just very, very yeoman.
So the question becomes, is this the end of their season? Like, in the current structure of the college football playoff, if you lose a game like that this early, now, Badgers could theoretically still represent their division, get to the Big Ten championship game, maybe knock off a Ohio State or something like that. So they're still a percentage point. But for the most part, they've structured this sucker so that if you lose a game, you got a tough road to hoe to get in that top four.
I mean, if you're going to lose a game, obviously you want to lose it early, but look at Indiana. Indiana was, were they top 10 or just outside of the top 10?
Yes.
And they got worked by Iowa.
And it's funny because I thought that Michael Penix Jr. was going to be a game changer, difference maker. Yeah. I mean, he's a very talented guy. They looked really, really out of their league.
Iowa looked good. You know, so that's who they're going to be battling against. I didn't think Minnesota looked horrible against Ohio State. They
now,
hung
some
with them
that,
for part of the game.
Yeah, some of that was an experience thing for me. Ohio State, obviously, as one of the top teams, is always click, click, replacing guys. Obviously, they've got a young guy under center. To me, that was a little bit more about Minnesota had a little more, they were a little longer in the tooth at most of those positions.
Yeah.
But, I mean, C.J. Stroud and what's the kid's name? Tanner from Minnesota. Anybody remember off the top of their head?
Tanner Morgan?
Well, the running back's out, right? He tore, I believe, his
I never saw an
Achilles.
Update on Ibrahim.
They said
Ibrahim?
He was out for the year, Ibrahim.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is going to hurt them, but
because he looked very dynamic in that first game.
But back to the Badgers. I mean, I think we got where we are looking at the schedule, it might have been me and Gabe, you might have been gone. Some people were saying possibly the ceiling was 10-1. It's not 10-1 now, you know. I mean, and then Michigan. What do we think of Michigan? Right? They say they found their quarterback. And I thought the Big Ten was going to be a down year outside of Ohio State. But I just, you know, that's why you can't listen to these preseason polls whatsoever.
Well, I just think you just don't know what you're going up against, right? We sit there and we try to guess who's going to be good based on the recruiting class, based on past history, based on maybe strength of conference. But after that, it's all a crapshoot. Like, I use the example of UCLA and LSU. I don't know what LSU is, so how can I say whether or not the UCLA win over them means anything? They could very well both be mediocre teams at the end of the day. I don't know. That's why you got to play out a full season. Let's get to that targeting call, because that was a huge moment in that game, and then it seemed to uncork the targeting for the weekend as well, because there were several other games where targeting became a major point of contention, and it was Joel Klatt who really got angry after the targeting call in the Wisconsin Badgers-Penn State game. Let's hear from Joel Klatt on Fox.
I just hate the ejection, right? I mean, this is the problem. This is a problem with this rule. And now Ellis Brooks, who didn't have, you got to at some point college football. At some point, you got to measure intent. The guy's not out there headhunting. He's playing fast. It's a violent sport. This is a good player. This is a really good player. He's the heart and soul of this defense right now. He shouldn't be ejected from the game. You want to throw a flag? Throw a flag. Eject the guy from a game. Got to fix this in college football. It's a disgrace.
I don't even think you throw the flag. I mean, once Mertz crosses the line of scrimmage, there is no difference between him and a running back. It's the same. And like they said, it's a moving target. That's why you wear helmets, right? Now, and I agree with Klatt, you can measure intent. You can see someone that's hitting a defenseless receiver, leading with the crown of their head. This was just, I don't know how you tackle. I mean, do you just throw your breastplate at the guy and tackle him like that? You know, a big old bear hug? Just thought it's, and that really affected the game because you took away Penn State's best defensive player. And that's why I said, you know, Wisconsin had this thing in their hand. They just didn't take it.
Well, Graham Mertz did throw those interceptions down the stretch there, and that obviously put them in a very bad position, letting Penn State salt this one away. So there has been talk about maybe going to like an NBA model, Ashton, as far as like flagrant one, flagrant two, where you're trying to guess, like you said, intent, where you're trying to measure intent. Look, you're going to get it wrong sometimes. You're sometimes going to get it wrong when you're trying to measure intent. But I feel like the guys, the percentage that you get it right and guys aren't ejected, maybe changing the trajectory of the game, I feel like that's worth it, right? Like to sit there and go, well, maybe he was headhunting and we got it wrong. Maybe he was. But to pull a guy from a game at these positions when it's so impactful, when, like you said, if you're hanging your hat on your defense and you remove a guy like this Ellis kid from Penn State.
But Wisconsin played it right because they slow played it. The crowd got into it. They wanted the targeting. Then they call a timeout. I'm like, who's in the video? I mean, what is this, 1987? Hold on, the VCR's stuck. I can't tell if it's targeting. They can't have someone in the booth in 10 seconds say, yeah, review that. You know what I mean?
I think there are some changes coming to the review structure for college football. We talked about that a little bit on College Game Day. I don't know all the ins and outs, all the details, but it does sound like they're trying to do a little bit like having a booth, an independent booth that could weigh in on some of these plays because they can be so game-changing. Every single year we go through this, the first few weeks, where all of a sudden we either forgot that targeting existed or we forgot how tough the penalty is for targeting. I hate that these guys prepare all week and then on one bang bang play they can be out. I find that to just be such an egregious overly harsh penalty for what it is.
And I get it, right? And I've had them. Concussions are bad, right? And you get them and they're trying to control that, but they're cutting off the head to cure the headache, you know? And they don't realize how they're affecting this game so much, you know? Contact like this is going to happen, you know? And you could put blame on Mertz. Well, what are you doing? Slide. Right? It's like the catch rule, you know? Someone's got to dial this thing in. I mean, and I was watching the Clemson-Georgia game. I don't know if you were back yet or able to watch that. That Skalski, Clemson's middle linebacker, has been ejected out of many games. Well, it's tough as a linebacker because you've been taught, you know, to keep your head up and lead that way. And this game is so fast.
So the reason the penalty is so harsh is obviously to discourage the behavior. But the only way that that works is if, again, the behavior is intentional. Okay? You're only going to discourage behavior if it's intentional. I don't think it's intentional.
No, it's not.
Are there guys out there who play dirty, who are nasty, who you do have to worry about going helmet to helmet or taking a helmet and trying to really hurt a guy? Yeah, maybe. But again, I think most of this is like circumstantial. I think it's one of those things where it's a fast game, like Klatt was saying, and it's just you can't gauge someone's movement. And I said this earlier in the show when we first started our ones and twos. How am I supposed to know where that moving object is going to go? I can guess. I can guess based on where they're coming from and where I think they're trying to go, but you're trying to guess in a split second so that you can then place your head on a certain angle or in a certain spot so that you won't get this penalty. Like, that's why I think the punishment doesn't make sense, because most of these are not intentional.
No, but the spirit of the rule was great at first, because it was to take away the safeties in the corners, hitting defenseless players leading with their helmet, correct? But now it's morphed into this. They don't know. They have no idea. I mean, typically, and I believe when they first brought the rule into existence, it was for the passing game, because you are so defenseless. Take it from a guy who ran down the middle. You are like, oh my God, the ball is literally in the air, and in your head you're thinking, I'm going to get killed. Thanks, Brett. I'm going to get killed. And I did get killed. I've been killed before. Now, they've taken that away, which is good, but they should have just let it lie there, right? And it does happen on run plays. Sometimes a safety comes up and just lowers his head and tries to clean out a running back. But this was football. That's football. Let's keep it football.
Is there another penalty that would still punish the team if a guy does get into that situation, if he does get flagged for targeting, but where he wouldn't be out of the game? Could it be a 15-yard penalty?
Jen,
could it be a 20-yard penalty?
Because you've been taught in for years and years, and it makes sense, is to play low. The last thing you want to do is play high, right? Well, how do you tackle someone without using your head? You got to play high, right? You got to play high. You just can't do it. So they just really need, and they'll get there, hopefully, eventually, but they just need to dial this rule in, you know?
I think, again, it goes back to a lot of times when we have an issue with calls. It's about consistency. So just give it, like, you know what I mean? If there was a way of consistently calling it, where if you're watching one game, that's targeting, you're watching another game and a similar play happens, it's not targeting, that's when fan bases get really angry. Yeah. Of like, hey, like, God, there's got to be some consistency here. You guys got to, at least, we got to know what targeting is. So that's another argument that a lot of people are making. Let us know what you think. 800-990-3776. Where do you stand on the targeting rules in college football, where a guy gets ejected for the remainder of the game or has to sit out the first half of the next game if it's in the second half? 800-990-3776. Hey, if you are in the market for a remodeling project, a home addition, or building a new home, you should consider my friends over at Professional Construction Inc. in Waukesha. I know that Mike and Michelle are very busy this time of year because they're big sports fans as well. So you know they're tuning into all of the big games, Brewers, Packers, Badgers, etc. But also, they are handling all of your construction home addition needs. That's because they care about this community, they care about building relationships, and giving back. It's a big reason why they're a proud supporter of the Down Syndrome Association of Southeastern Wisconsin. And if you haven't marked your calendars for this event yet, guys, go ahead and do it. The Awareness Walk is Sunday, September 26th at the Milwaukee County Zoo. So you can go out there, see some animals, hang out with Mike and Michelle, and do a little good in your community as well. If you're interested in what PCI can do for you, just go to their website. It's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com, ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. Tell them Jen sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you guys at all amazed on the knowledge that is inside my noggin?
You are wrong.
Look at Chewy.
Doesn't matter. It's still knowledge.
I don't know if it counts as knowledge.
Knowledge doesn't have to be right.
Put it on the poll.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Football season, that means travel season for Jen, and that means spending more time than I would like at airports and on airplanes. Did you hear my latest chew?
No.
Passenger on this flight is obliviously watching a video on his iPad on full volume.
Oh, full volume on the iPad.
Attendant asks him to put in headphones so he doesn't disturb other passengers, says it's airline policy, and the passenger says, since when? I shouldn't have to wear headphones if I don't want to. This actually happened on my way home from college game day on Saturday. Full volume on the iPad. You're on a plane.
Oh, I know. I've had that.
What is that?
Arrest that person. Arrest them.
That's awful, right? Like somebody said you should tie him to the wing. Just tie him to the wing. And then somebody else added, with headphones. Just use the little airplane headphones to just keep wrapping him around the wing.
You should have just bring a burrito on the plane.
Or a can of tuna fish.
There you go.
Crack that sucker open.
Nah, I was saying from the burrito standpoint, just make your own.
Make your own.
Cook up some turds real quick.
What's wrong with you? Here's the thing about the headphones thing, Jen, because I'm glad you bring this up. A, you're 100% right. That person should also be arrested. I think this is in public. This is a faux pas also. Wear headphones. They're cheap. B, they're not hard to use.
Oh, you mean like the person who's speaking into their phone at Costco and the other person is on speaker? Yes. What is that?
Put the phone up to your ear. I promise it'll make it better for everybody.
I know.
But
people
like,
are
also,
douchers.
Scoot over six aisles because they got a whole thing of headphones over there at the beginning of Costco. You know what I mean? That's what I want to say. I want to walk over to the electronic department of Costco, grab a headphones, drop it in their cart, and walk away. What is the most egregious? Because that's up there, right? Like polluting everyone's ears.
Taking shoes off on a plane, right?
I saw a woman, no lie, at O'Hare. Okay, you know how like we're sitting at a table right now that comes up to about our belly button, right? But sometimes at the airport, they have countertops that you can sit at.
Yeah.
And you can plug in your thing. You can do your laptop. You can eat your lunch, whatever. I'm not talking about like a low table. I'm talking about a high countertop. I saw a woman sitting at a stool. At the countertop with her feet, bare feet, on the counter. On the counter!
Yeah.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
And again, I walked past and I had my mask on so you couldn't see the scowl that I was giving, but I absolutely gave her devil eyes.
Yeah, but people like that don't care.
Really? Right?
Oh, if they're willing to do it.
I think everybody is
the
is
dude on the plane with the iPad
to shame,
and the music.
Susceptible to shame.
Is just a D-bag.
He was watching a NASA video on space.
Oh, well, I changed my tune a little bit.
Watched it then.
I'm listening.
That's
right.
Cool.
You guys are such jerks. No, it was awful. Because I was listening for about 3 minutes. And then I was like, nope, I'm out.
Well, did you learn anything?
So here's what I did. I walked to the front of the plane. I asked the attendant. I said, excuse me, do you guys have any headphones? They said, yeah, do you need some? I said, I don't. I have my own. But the gentleman sitting 4 seats away from me absolutely does. He's watching his iPad on full volume and he's watching a NASA video. So that's when they came to him and said, sir, can you please put some headphones in? And the person literally said, I shouldn't have to wear headphones if I don't want to.
And then the flight attendants didn't follow it up.
No, they did.
Should have said, like, well, we're putting you on our list and you're no longer allowed to fly.
I think the flight attendant dished him a pretty significant scowl. And yeah. I think the guy was like, fine, I'll put him in. But he definitely wanted to make his, like, my civil liberties, my body, my choice declaration beforehand.
Yeah.
Had something important to say, but that was much better. Okay, now this is, I don't know if this person is listening. We have a teammate here that works here in the office that sits 2 desks away from me. We have little cubicles here. I sit in the dark in the back on purpose, and I have headphones that I use. This person does not use headphones. And I don't think it's not to annoy someone. It's not, like, super loud. It's just I'm close so I can hear stuff. Am I a jerk if I go up to this person and say, can you please use your headphones? I can hear this.
No, I don't think so. I think
I feel bad.
Well, first of all, you always feel bad.
Yeah,
like
that's
you
true.
Having any sort of confrontation
right, well, let me
is
ask
usually
you this.
Off the chart.
And this person is like it's a nice person. He's a fine person. I don't know why.
I have
like,
another
just use headphones.
Only child.
Okay.
You're only child.
Somebody who behaves like that is an only
is
child.
Is an only child.
Why?
Because if my brothers did that, they would be worn out so bad and I would beat the ever-living tar out of them. They would know not to do that.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that when you have siblings, you've been conditioned to be able to get along with other people.
Not get along, consequences for your actions.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So people who have one kid don't ever...
Never been told, do whatever you want.
What about the parents?
Doters.
I kind of love this theory. Now, this person
I
don't know...
What is a doter?
Doting parent,
oh,
helicopter
doter,
parent.
Doter, got it. Yeah, okay. I don't know if that's really
is that
a word,
good, that's a good theory.
Makes sense.
Is that's doter a word?
Are you an only child?
No, I got an older brother.
I couldn't tell.
There is some truth to what you're saying. I think you're onto something here. I think you're saying that somebody who grows up with siblings is held accountable.
Yes.
Immediately. Like, you can't get away with any
Chewy
joke.
Was right.
No!
Yes.
Chewy was right.
Chewy was right. We got far enough away from it. We got far enough away from it that you forgot.
No, I was typing. doter means to bestow or express excessive love or fondness habitually.
Wow.
Why? What do you call them?
Annoying?
No, I've heard helicopter. I've heard
helicopter
bubble
parents.
Wrap. I've heard... What, are you?
No.
I'm just asking.
Please. I chuck my kid off the boat.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, she doesn't go to the championship games, Chewy, so definitely
I don't go
not.
To championship
your
games.
Your best was...
I
your,
throw out art.
Your best of all time was your son Chase didn't wear a coat and it was cold out, so what do you make him do? You make him walk a mile to the house.
Yeah, get out of the car.
I like that.
Get, well, first of all, it
we
wasn't
have
a mile.
Breaking news.
I have breaking news for my mother. She did not save my baby teeth.
Yes!
So we're good. Do you want? I'll take another poll real quick while I'm here because I was shocked by her answer. 53% say no.
She'd never saved any of your baby teeth.
She saved a bunch of other
that
dumb stuff.
That means that
but...
she liked your brother better.
Oh, I can confirm that. They have a dog now. She likes the dog better than both of us. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
oh, that makes sense.
Not weird.
800-990-3776. Lots of conversations already taking place here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We've been talking about targeting in college football. Where do you stand on that? We've been asking if the Packers defense is going to be a problem with Zidane. Darius Smith and the pass rushers, what is even happening there? And we have been asking if you, as a parent, save your kids' teeth. Do you make a deal with the tooth fairy after the tooth fairy does her little exchange of the money for the teeth? Do you get over there and go, hey, tooth fairy, give me those. I got to keep my kids' teeth. Sentimental reasons.
That's not the noise you make for that. That's a whole nother area.
Is there an animal in here?
It's a chipmunk.
That's how you call squirrels.
That's how you call Mike Golic Jr. He joins the show after this.